Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Mike, come on up. By the way, my name's Kathy Mavity. This is my husband, Mike. We have the joy, the honor of being the pastors here at Joy Church. And Mike is going to bring the message, so I'm going to pray for him before we get going. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are, Lord. I thank you that, like Matt said, you are for us. You have great plans for each one of us. God, I pray today that you would use Mike as your vessel, that you would speak through him and penetrate our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hello. Good morning. How are we doing? All right. So I'm going to need you to be a little peppy, right? It's been a while since I've been up here, so I need your energy coming back. Make this interactive. Like that. That's good. We're getting off to a great start. Hey, what about that last series of sermons that Kathy preached on mouth management, right? Yeah. Talking about complaining and gossip and what else, lying and all those things that we tend to do every now and then. I kind of felt like we could just put that sermon series on repeat and just go like over and over, and probably it'd still convict us all every time, right? But it was really good. And so if you haven't heard those, if you missed some, you can go back on our YouTube channel and certainly find those. They are worth the time. And last week, we had a huge block party. Woo-hoo. Yes, we had a great time out in the park across the street, Drake Field. What an amazing time it was. So many people helped out, so many volunteers, and we appreciate each and every one of you. And it was just a great time. There were we estimated, nobody could count because I couldn't get everybody to stand still for a few minutes. But we estimate, just by the number of hot dogs and burgers that we served, about 250 people were there from the community. And what a great way to serve people, to get to know people, and just kind of show that we care. So thanks to all who came, who served, and who loved on your neighbors. One other quick thing, we kind of painted up here. Did you see that? Yeah. I've spent the last couple of weeks up here painting slate. No. You all know that's not true, right? But we did have some awesome people doing that. Paul and Tanya Rivard were the big part of the painting, as well as Nate Perez. Let's give them a big hand. We had a lot of other folks from other areas working. Matt Tarpey did a lot of stuff with techie stuff. Craig Rainville did a lot of stuff with the backdrop and with lighting. And I'm probably forgetting people, and I'm sorry. But thank you for all you do, and thank you. I think this is going to be, the black was okay for a season, but this, I think, is going to show up a little bit better on the video when we do stream. So we're looking forward to that, and hopefully it will be a better view for people who do watch online. All right, so today, might be in trouble here. Today, we are starting a new series of sermons, and we are calling that series, I Love My Church. You might see that right there, and I'm going to have to go to Plan B here, so I'll ramble on. Huh? Nah. Just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Hello. We're starting a new series of sermons, and it's called I Love My Church. And we're going to be talking about our church and the fact that we love it. So that's where the title of the series came from. It was very creative on our part. So over the next 6 weeks or so, we're going to be talking a lot about Joy Church, who we are. We'd love to see new faces and get to know new people and kind of just share who we are. Because, you know, if you are here and you're new and you don't know us very well, it may be kind of obvious to you that what you see is what you get. We're nothing really fancy or special or anything crazy like that. We are Joy Church, and we do love our community, and we are a place where we're filled with joy and we believe that the best is yet to come. We're going to be talking about our vision to impact our communities with the Father's love and to raise up a body of believers connected in relationship with Jesus Christ and with each other. And we're going to be talking about our values of joy. We value joy. We value integrity. We value generosity. And we value the fact that everyone matters. Everyone matters. That's you. And that's me. And we know that, you know, where the worship team was singing, He is for us. We matter because He's for us. And so we're going to be talking about that over the next 6 weeks. But today, to get started, I'm going to talk about something that I kind of started with in the block party last week. We're going to talk about one of the things that I love most, and one of really the first things that I think of when I think about why I love Joy Church. We're talking about community. We're talking about who we are as a group, as people coming together. And you know, we're a community where we can come together and just be ourselves, right? I think the common word now is we can be our authentic selves. We can be, if we're down and struggling, we can be down and struggling, and somebody's going to come along and walk alongside us. If we're happy and having the best week ever, we can come and be happy and be having the best week ever and know that other people are going to celebrate that with us. We have such an amazing community of folks here, and you know, that's really just you. That's who you are. And so we're going to talk today about that community, and we know that not the greatest thing about our community, even above the fact that I just love it, is that we want more people to be a part of our community. We're not like huddled up and like, this is us, and it's going to be us and Jesus and no more. No, we want to see others come and to be a part of our community, and we are committed to just accepting people where they are. Accept them where they are and say, yep, you want to be here with us? Come on and be here with us. We'd love that, right? Now, if you do choose to come and be a part of us, you might hear about Jesus a little bit. I hope you do. And you might, you know, you might even grow one step closer to Jesus every day or one step closer to Jesus every week. And that helps us as a body of believers to kind of grow together, right? Impacting our communities with the Father's love, like we say. Because we're not made to do it alone. We are made for community. We're going to be talking about that as we read a story in the book of Mark in a few minutes. We're not meant to do it alone. We are meant for community. We are meant to be together. Together, all of us. So we're going to be talking about that. I love my church for the next 6 weeks and a lot of different topics. But today is about community. Now, in the Gospels, Jesus was all for community, right? He believed in community. He believed that people need to be together. We see that in a lot of the things that he did, a lot of the things that he did, you know, while he was here on earth. And one of the stories that I want to share that really points out the fact of that we are meant to be together, we are meant to be a part of a community, and that we aren't meant to do it alone, is in the book of Mark, chapter 2. It's the first about 11 verses, so let's just read through that, right? Mark 2, we'll start with verse 1. I think I'd put verse 2 on our slide, but we'll start in verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum, and he is talking about Jesus, and when Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room. Not even at the door, and he was preaching the word to them. Can you imagine a place that was packed full of people hearing Jesus preach? Can you imagine how cool it must have been to hear Jesus preach? Wow, that's incredible to even think about, right? And all you get is me. Not even close. So, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts. There's always a few in the crowd, right? Got a question, and like, what's wrong with this? Something good's happened, so there must be something wrong on the other side of it, right? So some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they thus questioned him within themselves, said to them, why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise up, pick up your bed, and walk, and go home. And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified. They glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. We never saw anything like this. So this story that Jesus tells, or that we read about Jesus, is really incredible, right? And we know that Jesus was a big proponent of community. Just the fact that when he came to earth and he started his ministry when he was 30 years old, he chose 12 people to do it with him. He chose his community to come alongside him and to walk alongside him and to be part of what he was doing here on earth, right? Jesus, not to mention the fact that, you know, he was part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We know that's a complete Trinity. That's God in three persons, a perfect community. And even Jesus, when he came, he didn't need those 12 disciples. I don't believe he needed them to do what he came here to do. But it's a matter of showing us how to make disciples. It's showing us how to be a part of a community that draws people in and that opens up the gospel to others, right? And so we have this story, and and back to Jesus' 12 disciples even, and you know, the fact that he told us before ascending to heaven, he told his disciples who were there with him before he ascended up to heaven after he was resurrected, he said, what did he say? He said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. It's interesting. He did not say go and make converts. He didn't say go and make churchgoers. And he certainly didn't say go and make religious people or do-gooders. No, he said go and make disciples, growing to be more like Jesus every day, just like I've been doing with you, he says. And I believe with all of my heart, if we're going to be a church that makes disciples, we're going to have to really focus on and be a great community together. Because disciple-making isn't a one-time thing. Disciple-making isn't like, oh, you go read the book of John and you're a disciple. Discipleship is a lifetime choice, a lifetime walk with God to move forward and to learn more about him, to grow closer to him. Because I don't know about you, but I mess up a lot so many times. But yet I can come alongside others and take that one more step forward, grow one more step closer to God, right? So here we see this story in Mark 2, and in the story, we're going to break it down and unpack it a little bit, and we can see that there are four people or four groups of people that are represented in this story, right? First of all, there was the paralytic, right? The story, he's kind of the subject of the story, the main character, I guess you would say. And he was paralyzed. He was a man that was paralyzed. We don't know if he was paralyzed from birth, or we don't know, maybe he had some kind of a crazy freak accident and he was paralyzed. We don't get those details about him. All we know is that he was paralyzed and couldn't move, couldn't get out of his bed. Maybe he was even the victim of violence at some time, and something, you know, somebody had attacked him and hurt him and he was paralyzed. We just don't know. But we do know that he was paralyzed. He was unable to move and he was helpless, and I would guess in a lot of cases, or maybe in a lot of days, he even felt helpless and hopeless. Hopeless because of his condition of being paralyzed and not being able to move and get up and do the things that he really wanted to do. And I don't know for sure where this man stood with his faith even, right? We don't even get that as part of the story. We don't know if he was a follower of Jesus all along, or we don't know if he had never heard of Jesus. We don't really know where he stood in his faith. But I would suggest that from reading this story that this man probably had very little or no faith in Jesus at this point. He probably had very little faith in Jesus or none at all. Or maybe he didn't even know who he was. But like us, some of us have felt paralyzed, right? We felt paralyzed before. Maybe not physically. Maybe we've been paralyzed with emotional trauma. Maybe we've been paralyzed by fear or paralyzed by the hurts from the past. Somebody has hurt us in the past, possibly even at a church. We've had church hurt. And believe me, I know that can be paralyzing to us. This man was paralyzed and couldn't move. And it's so much like us so many times where maybe we're just paralyzed with just the overwhelming nature of our culture, of where we live in today's world. It can be paralyzing. Maybe we question our own faith at times and wonder, God, where are you? Where is God in my life? I see all this stuff happening around me. I see the world is like going crazy and going mad. And where is God in all this? And our faith can even tend to wane. Like this man who was paralyzed and couldn't make his own way to Jesus. But this guy, though, he did have one thing going for him, right? He was good at choosing friends. He chose some really good friends, right? He chose, well, those friends who would be, you know, he was physically dependent on them in a lot of cases. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't move. He couldn't get out of his bed. And so he chose these friends who would help him and come alongside him. And don't you think he's glad that he didn't choose friends who enabled him? He didn't choose friends who said, oh, we're so sorry. You know, you're such a victim of this paralysis, and you should really feel bad for yourself. We feel bad for you. No, he didn't choose friends who did that. He chose friends who were called to action. He chose friends that were, you know, as we would say, they're ride or die, right? They're going to go with us. They're going to stick with us wherever we go. Ride or die friends. And I would say, as you read this story, you can see that it's obvious that these friends made all the difference in the world to this man. Made all the difference in the world for him. And I think there's a lesson in that for us, too. That we need to be careful about the friends that we choose. Maybe we don't want to choose the friends who will come along and say, oh, I'm so sorry that, you know, your life is the way it is. I'm sorry that you don't have the job that you want. I'm sorry that your husband is such a creepy guy. I'm sorry that your wife doesn't take care of you very well. No. For us, we need to find friends who will encourage us to, like, I see something in you. I see who you are. I see God working in your life, and I see you moving forward in life. We need to find friends who are encouraging and who believe in us. This man's friends believed in him, right? They believed that he was more than a guy who would be laying on a mat for the rest of his life. They believed in him. And I think they probably believed in him more than he believed in himself. Do we have friends like that? Do we choose friends like that? Do we choose friends that will encourage us and challenge us to be more like God, to grow more like him, and to take us to Jesus when we're feeling overwhelmed? At Joy Church, we have some mechanisms where we can find friends like that. We do a thing that we call life groups, where small groups of people meet throughout the week and just kind of, in a lot of cases, hang out. Sometimes there's different focuses, maybe read a book together and discuss the book as we grow closer to God through that. Sometimes it's just getting together and talking about the sermon from the previous week and how does that apply to me? How can I make my life different because of what I heard? Life groups. We even have a life group that gets together and just plays games every week. That's amazing. Amazing. And we have these ways that we can find community at Joy Church. And that's why one of the reasons that I love Joy Church is for our community and the way that we try to get people together to serve together, to work together, to hang out together, and just be friends together. So the first person that we see in this story is this paralyzed man, right? And secondly, we do see his friends. You know, I said that the man did a great job of choosing his friends, but his friends also did a great job of loving this man. They loved him. They hated to see him paralyzed. They hated to see him every day lying on that bed, unable to get up, unable to move, day after day, year after year. his friends who you know, from their point of view, that this man, this paralytic, he had value. He had value. He meant something to them. He was worth healing. He was worth, you know, picking him up by the corners of his bed and carrying him to Jesus. He was worth that. He had a great value to them. And even though they couldn't get through the door because there was this huge crowd listening to Jesus preach, and he couldn't get through the door, so they took him up on the roof and cut a hole. Can you imagine? Think about it. If, you know, like today, there's somebody who wanted to get here, and, you know, we see some stuff kind of falling from up there, and like, ugh, what's that? A few minutes later, we see a little more, and then suddenly, like, some guy's coming down on a bed, right? Can you imagine how they must have felt and what that looked like? They put him on this mat, and they picked him up and carried him to where Jesus was. His friends, how important is it to have friends who will take you to where Jesus is, who will see the value in you and see the potential in you and see that God's purpose in you and will pick you up and take you to where Jesus is, to find Jesus so that your life can be changed, so that you can be healed, so that you can find salvation. Amen. Amen. That's the kind of friends I want to have. Hoping for some amens there too. That's the kind of friends I want to have. Amen. Right. But even more so, that's the kind of friend I want to be. That's the kind of friend I want to be, right? So committed to helping those that are walking alongside me, those who are part of our community, those who are wanting to be or new to our community, to be here and ready and willing to walk alongside and bring them to Jesus. I love Joy Church because we as a church, we want to bring people to Jesus. And we might use some unconventional methods. We may do some things that are kind of outside the box for a regular church to do. We may do a big block party and cancel church on Sunday because the block party is on Saturday. To reach our community with the Father's love, to share the gospel outside this building. It's not about us. It's really not about us. It's about the world who's lost and desperate and dying without Jesus every day. Every day. That's the kind of friend I want to be. I want to be a friend who helps bring my friends to Jesus, to help them find healing, to help them find a way to stop the paralysis of being stuck where they're at, of feeling lost and feeling like they're a victim of something. I want to find people, friends who I can bring to Jesus and show the hope of the world, show that God's grace and God's mercy to them. Maybe it's some crazy way of doing it. Maybe I'll be cutting a hole in somebody's roof along the way. But I want to be that kind of friend. Because I find it very interesting in verse 5 of this scripture. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he wasn't talking about the faith of the man who was on the mat being lowered through the roof. The faith of the friends. The faith of the friends could be brought healing. This sick man's friends, their faith, their belief that Jesus was the answer, that they could bring this man to Jesus and he would find healing and he would find salvation. The faith of the friends. I want to be that friend who has so much faith for you that I believe the very best for you, that I believe that God wants more from you and wants more for you, and I believe in the purpose that he put you here for. I want to be that friend. Maybe we can be the friend whose faith brings people to Jesus. They may not have an ounce of faith. We don't know if this man, that this paralyzed man, had an ounce of faith or not. But we do know that Jesus saw the faith of his friends and said, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to make you whole. That's the kind of friends I want to be. This paralytic, he chose good friends. The third group in this case is the scribes. Now, the scribes, if you're not familiar with the Bible, the scribes were very familiar with religious law. They knew every one of the 619 or so laws that the Jews were supposed to obey and follow every day. So these scribes were very adept in that. And even more so, they loved to find somebody who missed one. They loved to find somebody so they could point to them and say, see, you missed this law. You missed this rule. You're bad. God can't use you. So that's who the scribes were. And they were in this crowd. And I can't imagine that they were here for any other reason than to try to find fault in what Jesus was preaching that day. I can't imagine that they were there to try to grow closer to him and not to discourage or throw shade on him. But I believe that they were there so that they could look at Jesus and say, see, I told you, he's breaking the rules. He's doing things wrong. He can't be the Son of God. But Jesus kept on doing what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching about God's love and forgiveness and God's grace and mercy. So these scribes, these religious scribes, wanted to point out the fact that it must be blasphemy. You said you could save somebody. You could bring them salvation. That's blasphemy, right? So these scribes were there, but you know, the thing about it is they were truly, truly, truly very religious people. They were very religious people. They knew all the rules, and they, at least they would probably tell you, they kept every rule, right? But let me tell you what I firmly believe 100%. Jesus did not come here to earth to be crucified, buried, and resurrected so you and I could become religious. I just don't think he did that. There were religious people already, right? I mean, here we go. The scribes were already there. They were already religious. Why would Jesus need to come and live and die and be resurrected for that, to make us more religious? No, I believe Jesus came so that we could find him, we could have a relationship with him, and we can see the power of God's grace and mercy, and we can become everything that God has created for us to become. I love Joy Church because it can be a place where our religion dies and our relationship with a loving, grace-filled Savior flourishes. Amen. Amen. We aren't scribes here. You won't find any scribes here. You won't find people who want to judge you or find fault in everything you do. We aren't here looking for somebody to screw up so we can say, see, I told you so. And how many times, my goodness, do we see someone who maybe has been healed of an addiction or healed from something, a bad habit that they have, and we sit kind of back and say, yeah, that's really great, but let's see if it sticks. Let's give it a few weeks before we really say anything about it because, you know, they're probably going to just fall back anyway. No, we're a people who believe in you and believe that God's working in us. And so what if we have a failure? So what if we trip and fall and stumble? Because there's going to be somebody who's going to come alongside you, part of this community, who's going to walk with you, who's going to encourage you, and who's going to say, come on, get back up. I know you can do it. I can see that in you. You can do it. We're not scribes here. We're not going to judge. We're not looking for a failure. We're not looking for you to miss out on a rule. We don't really have many rules around here. I love Joy Church because we expect the best. We encourage each other. We bring people to Jesus as they are. And you know what? We don't try to change you. We're not going to try to change anyone as we bring them to Jesus. Jesus might change them, and my hunch is that he will, but it's not our job. It's my job to point people to Jesus, to be like this man's friends and bring them to Jesus. At that point, they were done, right? We don't hear anything more about them in the story. They brought their friend to Jesus, and he made all the difference for them. So we have the paralyzed man, and we have the friends, and the scribes, and fourthly, we have the crowd, right? The crowd. Verse 2 says that the room was crowded to the point where there was no room to bring this man through the door. They couldn't even get him through the door. They had to drop him through the ceiling. That's crazy. That's crazy. That there were so many people here just to hear Jesus preach, just to hear the gospel, to hear The gospel talk about the gospel. The good news talk about the good news, right? Of who he was. And so these friends brought him and they got around the crowd. And what happened? Miracles happened. The crowd, the ones who were there to see Jesus speak, they got to see a miracle happen because they were there. Because they were part of what was going on. Because they showed up. And miracles happen. Let me tell you guys, miracles happen at Joy Church. Miracles happen here day after day after day that we see that sometimes we just call them everyday miracles. Sometimes we call them really big miracles. We have this board over here, the miracle board that we have of the things that we're praying for, the things that we're believing for, the miracles, the breakthroughs that we're finding, that we're needing in our life. And I said, well, that's great. Let's have that board, but wait a minute, we need to have a brag board too, because we need to talk about when those miracles happen. We need to celebrate. I want to be a church that celebrates God working in us, not just when the major, big, humongous miracles happen, but to celebrate every day the small miracle. It could be the miracle of, hey, I woke up today and I went throughout the whole day and I didn't have a cigarette today. Praise God. Praise God. That's a miracle in so many cases. That's what the crowd here at Joy Church is. That's why I love Joy Church, is because we're a group of people who root for each other, who cheer each other on, who believe in each other, who encourage each other. But here's the important part. If we're going to be a part of the crowd here at Joy Church, this may seem a little like simplistic, but if we're going to be a part of the crowd, we have to be here, right? We have to show up and be here regularly. You never know the miracle you're going to miss if you're not here. I'm not trying to throw any guilt on anybody, and I don't expect that anybody's going to be here 52 weeks out of a year. But my goodness, we can do a better job about being here, about showing up, about making it a priority to be a part of the Joy Church, to be here, to be part of the crowd, to see God working. And who knows that he might want to use you to work in someone else's life. He might want to use you to work in someone else's life. Guys, COVID is over. You remember COVID? It was a thing, right? But it's over. We went back to Target, right? We went back to Applebee's. It's time we get back to church. It's time we get back to church with regularity and to make it a priority. I love Joy Church. Let me tell you that when you're not here, or if you're not here, you're going to miss something big. You're going to miss something important. You're most likely going to miss a miracle in someone's life. You're going to miss some life-changing things, maybe for you or maybe for others, that we get to celebrate. Maybe you're going to miss the opportunity to connect with others and even to be a part of their miracle. To be a part of their miracle. This group got to witness this great miracle, this story in the Bible of this crowd that got to see the man get up and walk. Get up and walk. They were there and their lives were changed, and they went out celebrating and praising God for what he had done. That's why I love Joy Church, because we come together once a week to celebrate who he is. We come together once a week to celebrate what he's done in our lives. That's why we call it a celebration event on Sunday morning. We don't call it a church service. It's a celebration of what God has done in our life and about what he's doing in our life. That's why I love Joy Church and the community we're in. So we have this paralyzed man, and we have his friends, and we have the scribes and we have the crowd, these four different groups, and I suggest that we're all represented in at least one of these groups. We're all represented in this story in one way or another. Maybe some of us are here and we see ourselves as part of the crowd, right? We see ourselves as, I'm not too connected at Joy Church, or maybe I am really connected at Joy Church, but I'm part of the crowd. I'm part of the group that shows up on Sunday, and I'm part of the life group, and I love to see what God does, and I love to see the miracles and to change lives. Maybe we're part of the crowd. Some of us here are maybe represented by the scribes or the religious ones. Maybe you grew up as a child in a very religious home, a very religious upbringing, and I'm not throwing shade on that at all. I love traditions, and traditions aren't a bad thing, but it's Jesus that matters. It's our relationship with Him that matters. And I don't want to be that religious group that just, you know, we sit here and we say, well, I wonder why those people do the things they do. Can you believe that what that person does? We're surprised when somebody who doesn't know Jesus acts like somebody who doesn't know Jesus. And we act like we're surprised. No, that's what we need to be, and that's what we need to be encouraging people and sharing about being closer to Jesus. So some of us here are represented by the scribes. But Joy Church is a place where you can come and you can believe. You can belong even before you believe, right? You can be a part of this group and not believe in Jesus, not know Jesus. And we're going to love you and care for you and let you be a part of our community and grow. And we're going to, like I said earlier, we're going to talk a lot about Jesus. Jesus might grab a hold of you and make some tweaks and changes in your life. But Joy Church is a place where you can come. I like to say that you know, that Jesus accepts us just as we are, but He loves us too much to leave us that way. You come. Whether you believe or not, come and be a part of our community. Jesus will accept you and so will we. But believe me, He may not leave you that the way you are. He may change you for the better. So we have people who are represented by the crowd and some who are represented by the scribes, but we also have some who maybe are represented or feel like you connect with the friends. This man's friends who were so instrumental in him finding the healing and salvation that he needs. Who do you know that needs to know Jesus? Who do you know that's paralyzed in life, who's stuck right where they are, unable to move forward, unable to find their own way? Who do you know that needs to hear the gospel? Who do you know who you can commit? Somebody you can commit to bringing them to Jesus and helping them find a better way. You don't have to change them. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to cajole them. Just bring them to Jesus. And as strange as it may sound, they may be the friend that you have that says, I'm never going to a church. The place will fall in if I walk through. So maybe the only way that we can bring Jesus to those friends is to meet them where they're at. Maybe meet them in a place that maybe we're not even all that comfortable. But we're taking Jesus with us so we can be comfortable and we can share His love and His grace and His mercy no matter where we go. Maybe we can be that friend. Maybe we can connect and be that friend. Going to others wherever they are. Remember, it was Jesus was moved by the faith of His friends. Jesus was moved to healing by the faith of His friends. And who knows, but your faith could be the thing that moves Jesus to heal a friend. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But maybe you're here and you really relate to the paralyzed man. You're unable to move forward. You're stuck. You think that life has dealt you a bad hand, and maybe it has. Maybe your circumstances are such that you've been dealt a bad hand. You've had a hard go of it. You have a hard go of it. You're paralyzed, and you're unable to move forward, and maybe you feel just completely stuck and like this man, helpless and hopeless. Maybe you're at a place where you've even lost your faith. Your faith in Jesus is so threadbare that you've almost lost it. You're stuck on your mat like this paralyzed man. Well, I love Joy Church because if that's you, that there's a group of people here who want to walk beside you, who want to help you find Jesus every day, who wants to point you to Jesus every day. I love Joy Church because we're a group of people who are completely and totally imperfect. Completely and totally imperfect. We make our own mistakes. We screw up a lot. Believe me. but we always try to help each other walk just one step closer to Jesus every day. Every day, one step closer, knowing that he brings hope, knowing that he brings a better life, knowing that he brings peace, knowing that he can bring comfort, and doing our best to walk toward him just a little bit every day. And then we want you to come alongside, and we're not going to judge. We're not going to have an agenda. We're not having even a timetable. We're just inviting you on the journey with us as we go, as we go. As a matter of fact, the Great Commission that I talked about earlier, where Jesus said, go and make disciples, as you translate that from the original language, it translates kind of as you go, as you go. So that's the kind of friends we want to be. And maybe if you're in that place, if you're feeling paralyzed, if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling hopeless and helpless, and maybe your faith is threadbare or maybe it's gone completely, I love Joy Church because you are welcome here. You're welcome here. You're welcome to be a part of who we are. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, but you're going to hear a lot about Jesus and what he does in our life. You're going to hear a lot about the miracles that he's performed in our life. And I believe you're going to be moved and touched to be closer to him every day. Every day. I tricked you a little bit, though, because there's one more person that's represented here, too. Jesus, right? It's Jesus. The one who the crowds came to see, the one who the scribes came to judge, the one who the friends knew would bring peace and healing to his friend, and the one who not only healed the paralyzed man, but forgave his sins as well. This Jesus was also a part of this story. Jesus is part of the story of Joy Church. Jesus is the part of the story of my life. Jesus is a part of your life story as well. He's there always with us. He's here today. Scripture says he's here with us. If two or three are gathered, God is with us. And there's more than two or three here today, and he's here today, and maybe he's inviting you into healing that you've never experienced before, healing that you've never even thought was possible. Inviting you into his grace and his mercy and his forgiveness. Maybe you grew up in that religious household who felt like, oh my goodness, I've failed so many times that I just can't be accepted by God. And you know, when you're feeling today in your heart, in your spirit, God's calling you, saying, yes, I believe in you. He says, yes, that person sitting next to you believes in you and believes that you're worthy and that you have value and that there's a community here that's going to come around you as you come to know and follow Jesus more and more. If that's you, I want to offer just a quick time of prayer. The worship team can come up. A quick time of prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, to come into your heart. And maybe that's something that you don't even know completely what that means. And I can tell you that it's a learning process. And the more you follow Jesus, the more you learn about what it really does mean to be a follower of Jesus. But it starts with a repentance, a turning from sin, and asking Jesus to forgive those sins and to move forward, to be a part of your life, the Holy Spirit in you, drawing you closer to God as we walk on this journey together, and as we go, we make disciples. So I'm going to ask you to pray along with me here at Joy Church. I don't think that any of us need to pray that prayer alone, so we're going to ask everyone if you would pray along with me. And if you want to ask Jesus in your heart, if you've never done that before, today can be the day. Today can be the day where you find that healing and that salvation that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. Today can be the day that you find the grace and mercy that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I need to be healed. I feel paralyzed by hopelessness. I feel paralyzed by helplessness. And God, I know that it's only your grace and mercy that can save me. God, I turn from my sin. I know I'm not going to be perfect tomorrow, but I'm going to walk closer to you day after day to be closer to you as you're my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the very first time, there is a new life in you. Jesus has come into your heart and he saved you. And you might be confused and don't really understand the whole breadth and depth of what you just did. But let me tell you that it's life-changing. And it's also lifelong as we grow to be more like him, as we grow to be disciples and be disciple makers along the way too. So if you did pray that prayer for the very first time, please talk with someone here. You can catch me after we're done, or Kathy, or maybe whoever brought you, a friend, and just share, like, today I made the decision, and I'm going to start walking with Jesus, and, you know, maybe I don't know what that looks like, but I'm going to do it. Share that with someone, and I can promise you that we'll celebrate that miracle in your life. I can promise you that we'll celebrate with you the new life that God has given you. I love my church because we're a church that isn't perfect. If you came here to find the perfect church, I'm sorry. Keep looking. But we're a church that moves toward Jesus. We're a church that impacts our communities with the Father's love. A church that raises up believers and makes disciples, committed to one another. We're the friend who's committed. Committed to your growth, committed to each other, committed to encourage and challenge, committed to each other and committed to Jesus. And just imagine, if you will, with me for a minute, imagine what that looks like to our community. Imagine what that looks like outside of these four walls. There aren't a lot of organizations that really try to claim that, to be that. To be the friend whose faith brings someone else along to Jesus for salvation. The friend that, to be a part of a crowd. Can you imagine to be a part of a crowd and to see the miracles that God does each week at Joy Church? To be set free from religion. We're not going to be really religious here in our Sunday celebrations, but we're going to grow closer to Jesus, and we're going to celebrate who he's created us to be. Imagine what that looks like as we go forward. Imagine being paralyzed and finding healing and forgiveness from Jesus. Joy Church, that's who we are. That's who we are. And we believe, Joy Church, we know that we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And we believe with every bit of our heart that the best, the very, very best is still to come for all of us. Thank you for being here today. I want to kind of give you a heads up. Next week, I'm going to do something that I'm not sure I've ever done. I certainly don't do it much. I'm going to preach a little bit about our political situation. Yeah. No amens at all for that. A little tension in the room, right? And you know what? I have the answer. I have the answer. So be sure and come, bring a friend, and we'll share that answer with you next Sunday. We love you guys. There's nothing you can do about it. Worship team's going to sing us out of here. Hey, let's celebrate a little bit. God's doing things in our midst, in this church. Let's celebrate who he is and all that he does. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.